want to say to me and somebody in the who grew up in England, how completely tied up with the English, the British imperialist military, the military specifically, that royalty are. Like, the whole time in the papers, children of the royal family, the sons of the royal family, filmed as centrepiece adverts for going into Afghanistan and Iraq. The Queen supervises parades of soldiers the whole time. And, like, what just happened in Britain with the recent wedding, they arrested dozens of leftists and anarchists in London for thinking about protesting. Like, not for protesting, for thinking about protesting. And they locked them up until after the wedding was over because they couldn't have this smirch on the flower of the British military system and the British class system, and it is integral to the aristocracy, and that still operates in Britain. Like, there's still hereditary peers in the house as well, who are part of the government with actual power, who are part of the same aristocracy that she's the head of. So to me, it's still a real issue.
Just to add there, we're passing around the contact sheet, so if you want to find out more about Solidarity Books and would like to keep up to date with events that happen here, just add your name, email address and phone number to the list, and we'd be delighted to send you a low volume email every week. That's we only do one email a week, so that you don't have to worry about getting spammed out by us.
Can I ask a question? I wonder what is the true figure of man known as joined the British Army in the First World War, or the force in the First World War. What's the true figure on it? It's probably not as high as they say, but it's still pretty high.
Anybody else?
Yeah, just in terms of what's happened with the peace process and so on. Yeah, I'm just wondering, I mean, would there have been a considerably different response, say, 10 years ago to the Queen's visit here, and how much of it is tied in to what's now happening in terms of kind of the accommodation that's been made in the North? Did you have any views in that?
Yeah.
Okay, I suppose James, if you want to come back on those few questions.
Okay, well, that's a good question, though, but I want to comment on it because of something Ireland relevant. We talked about the repression of the dissent in Britain during the royal wedding, and it may interest me to know that Dublin City Council has effectively banned any post in Dublin from the 15th of May till the end of the rise of it. So here's a real example of a democratic right, which we could say the Minister of 1960 died for, is being taken away by the City Council, the fucking City Council. not through a council decision, but through a bureaucrat, has decided, because the Queen of England is coming, there can be no posters on the streets, because it may say some ugly cloth, but might have messages that she disagrees with. I often wonder what kind of bubbles are rising with living in the middle, but it's so outrageous that in our own city, you know, that we'd be forced to cancel the second post. It's crazy. Because the rising is coming, I don't think of a different, better reason, but that's a mad, mad reason. Anyway, non-union soldiers in the First World War, well, the fact that I've done a little bit actually reading about this, but it does interest me. Tens of thousands of Catholics and nationalists signed up for the British Army. Tens of thousands, and statistically, can't be denied, the statistics are there. And probably, yeah, probably as much as 100,000. What's interesting about the people who signed up is some people signed up for political reasons, because John Redmond said, you know, we've got to go and fight for the freedom of other small nations. We've got to go and fight for Britain, effectively, a British imperial interest. And joined for those reasons. Some were from loyalist backgrounds in the south, or some, but most of them were from nationalist backgrounds, if you like. And I use nationalist for small ends. Very many people signed up for economic reasons. And what's quite interesting is if you read the accounts of trade union leaders in Dublin in 1914, in that period, they talk about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who've been involved in the 1913 lockout and who lost their jobs as a consequence of this huge labour battle in Dublin and were penniless, signing up the British Army for the simple reason they had to have money to feed their families. So it's interesting that when we get this kind of thing, we must celebrate the Irish contribution to the First World War. The story we hear is about these people who went out and were kind of proud to serve, either for residence reasons or for because they supported the Empire or whatever. But we never hear that the actual truth is that most people sent for economic reasons. Or, very often, because, you know, Irish life was not a particularly exciting place to live in. People sent up for reasons of adventure. And wars prior to 1914, the Boer War had been pretty nasty, but it was very far away. And the idea that you'd sign up and you were likely to die wasn't as common in Irish society as it was after the First World War. I'm going to be honest about that. And what's an interesting statistical contrast to me is the number of people who actually were signed up in the Second World War in the British Army, which is far this huge decrease. And obviously the knowledge of the nature of war, but also the political events that occurred there, has informed people about the nature of that, and people were less inclined to sign up. I don't have exact statistics, I don't know if anyone does know, but what's interesting about it too is though, if you read T. Ryan Dwyer's book on the IRA in Kerry, he actually explores that whole idea of people signing up to the British Army. And what's notable about Kerry is Kerry was a particularly Republican hotbed even before the 1916 rising. There was a very strong Republican current in the county. The number signing up in Kerry was very, very small. It was something less in hundreds, literally. Tipperary was extremely high, but Kerry was very, very small. And the reason was politics. People were more informed, but also, obviously, it was economically more possible to survive in Kerry without signing up to the British Army, as well as that. So, in Kerry, the very, very low sign-up rate. In Dublin, the very high, for economic reasons. Tipperary, in Dublin, is very high. But I'd say Tipperary is probably a political thing more than economic. But there you are. That, in terms of my knowledge, that's my knowledge about that period.
What actual numbers of people down here, would connections? English back on the reunions.
Oh yeah, there'll be a good layer, yeah. There'll be a substantial layer, in fact.
At that time.
Even at that time, yeah. In terms of the peace process, it's interesting that you bring that up, Kevin, because one of the side effects of the peace process, and I'm not against the fact that there was these guys in there, or they had to come in that sense. We might argue about the outcome of the process and stuff, but that's another day's work or so. But definitely 10 years ago, I don't think this, even 10 years ago, which wouldn't be it's just fading in. Obviously, it was impossible at that time because of what it might have triggered in the country. I think a consequence of the peace process, it's an ironic consequence of it in a way, is that it freed up over 10,000 British soldiers. And what they did with those British soldiers was they sent them to Iraq and they sent them to Afghanistan. And it was like, I remember reading a statistic, one of the interesting ones about the British, is that 1968 or 67 had been the first year in over 100 years that the British Army hadn't been engaged in a war. They got a big shock the following year, obviously, because they go straight into the north and that. But it's interesting is that they've always been an army that's been engaged in warfare at some point. It's like the very existence of the British Army depends on it. It's one of the reasons why they're so well regarded in terms of professionalism and stuff, and from a completely military point of view, is because they're constantly engaged in warfare. But the peace process, the side effect of the peace process, was British soldiers killing Afghanis and killing Iraqis. You know, it's not a reason to oppose the peace process, but it does show you that imperialism, it never fucking rests, so that, you know, it's onto the next target straight away. And it's something that's not referred to here, you never hear people saying that, you know. And I think that the result of the accommodation has made it possible for this to occur. I don't think it could have happened 10 years ago. And the remark of someone actually said to me the other day, actually, he said that he believed that the majority of working class people in the state supported the right visit, not enthusiastically, but because they said it was bringing the glue of the peace process together. And I said, I think the majority of people are indifferent to the right visit. That's my own feeling. I actually indifferent. It's not. I'm disappointed that because I'm political. Obviously, I feel everyone should have an opinion about things. But I don't know if it's just don't give a damn if they're preoccupied by other things. But there is a substantial section of the community who are delighted that they're rising. Let's be honest. They've been waiting for this for a long fucking time. And there's a substantial section who are really annoyed over it as well. And that's a good thing. But that section is still there and actually has some sort of perspective on things. Progressive perspective, they would call it.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about the, like, what message are there for the opposition of the Queen? Like, how can people actually voice their opposition? Like, because it's only 10 days away, like, and, like, even with myself, I haven't heard anything of if there's any, like, meetings or anything. Like, if there's going to be a march or if there's going to be blockades or if there are needs as well, do you think there's a need for, like, future tactical meetings? I mean, it's only 10 days, there's not that much time left. And if there's been any real coordination amongst the Republican groups and socialists and anarchists, or as you said, anti-monarchists. And just another small thing was, like, do you think it'd be important for us to, like, expect our solidarity with things as the British Queen, so that with the poor British subjects, so the poor working class of England, because they're also going through a very tough recession of bank bailouts and austerity measures similar to what we have here.
Okay, so I'm going to bring myself in on this. I was just, when you mentioned about the whole thing of the claims about, you know, how good this would be for the tourism industry, I was thinking how much better maybe an assassination would be for the tourism industry. Maybe what I should do is ask people in Dallas how things have been faring out since 1963. but you know, it's out of that the whole tourism business is kind of funkum as well, because I mean, you know, there are countries like you know, say France, you know, that doesn't have a monarchy, that has a perfectly good tourism industry, thank you very much. Or, you know, say Italy or Greece, you know, and they don't have, you know, celebrated parasites doing, you know, the what would you call it, sort of protocol gymnastics, you know, for tourist cameras. Now, I suppose a more serious question that I'd have to ask as well, too, is that, you know, that there's a certain kind of, I suppose, the royal visit here actually is a kind of a, you could almost say a kind of a, the, what would you call it, a kind of a litmus test, you know, of you know, certain types of political sympathy in this country, which is, you know, the sort of a kind of an establishment versus anti-establishment, you know, sort of reaction, because, I mean, the people who support this visit are the connected, the well-off, the wealthy, the people who, you know, see their privilege mirrored in the absurd and extreme privilege of monarchs. And, you know, that attacking the monarchy, or attacking any monarchy or any symbol of extreme privilege is, by proxy, attacking their privilege as well, too, and the basis by which they receive that privilege as well, too. Oftentimes inheritance, oftentimes the bogus meritocracy of capitalism, and this whole idea that somehow you're special by dint of either your talents or by birth. Now, the question that I would ask as well, too, is that does this tie into as well, too, the, you know, the reaction here to opposition to the royal visit? Does it tie into as well, too, the phobia as well, too, of the English established society or English official society, British official society, to face up to its own republican past and its own, you know, republican movements in the past? Because you could say the current, you know, veneer of popularity and acceptability that's over the British royal family in Britain is very much a modern phenomenon, in the sense that it dates more or less from the Victorian era and, you could say, the period of high imperialism in England. 30 years before that, during the royal wedding of, later to become George the Fourth, I think it was the wedding of George the Fourth, was they literally had to have a large chunk of the British Army out in the streets of London because people wanted to riot and disrupt the wedding. Such was the unpopularity of the monarchy back then. During the Napoleonic Wars, there was an enormous propaganda war and intelligence war and repression directed against political radicals in England, Wales and Scotland and Ireland too, because of their anti-monarchist sentiments, inspired by what was happening in continental Europe up until the early 1790s, early to middle 1790s. And also though too, that the curious Republican interlude, yeah, that you know, that occasioned even you know, a regicide, you know, that you know, that in English history they actually killed their own, you know, the English people have killed their own king at some stage. But however, that can't be mentioned as a republic, it is mentioned as an interregnum. Is that it's not, you know, that it's seen as something you know, was it contrary to nature. I was just going to ask you, is you know, that the opposition here and you could say the reaction here to opposition to the royal visit, is it tied into a horror of anti monarchical and anti privileged agitation by against those who experience and enjoy that privilege. Sorry about that. Anybody else want to come in? Yes.
I don't really question, I just want to say something. I enjoyed your lecture, or your talk, it was really good. But I think, just on a personal level, you know, even jokingly, like, kind of talk of assassination, that type of thing, I think things like that are, you know, things I see wrong with the other side, I see them as, you know, murderers, torturers, that type of thing. I don't think people should study their hands, kind of thinking about replicating their tactics to fight them. That's all I want to say.
Thank you.
Well, James, I remember when I, with the Sandinista in Nicaragua, I met lots of people from English brigades, and they were all British. They were all British Republicans, you know. They certainly weren't monarchists, like, they were all British Republicans, like.
Can I come back there? That's a very important point that Tony made there at the end, and thinking that goes, and Ray has referred to it. There's a huge, huge honourable Republican history in England. Particularly amongst the English working class. Interestingly, in terms of being victims of their own propaganda, they have built the monarchy up over a relatively recent phenomenon that you talked about, the monarchy, and the whole myth of the Queen staying in London during sticking with her people and stuff like this is all part of that. And it's quoted on the other side, actually. You do hear that kind of stuff. But they are victims of their own propaganda in the sense that for the reason why I went in, they were expecting 5 million people in London, and they were expecting street parties and all this kind of stuff, and there were, in the end, 1 million people showed up in London. A good deal of them who weren't English, who travelled to see the wedding from around the world, and there were the rising numbers of street parties. The point is that the monarchy is at the very low end in terms of support in Britain at this time. And that, for broadly speaking, when you talk to English working class people, there's a disdain for, quite honestly, not nothing that everyone does, obviously, there's connections with too. And in such a context, actually, killing the Queen would probably be a fourth monarchy, you know. I take your point about making a joke about it, but I'm going to relate a story, because you're talking about tourism and John F. Kennedy. My brother has a stall in the English market. He wouldn't let me work there for the Queen's visit, unfortunately. quite my team. Two of the staff actually are delighted, so they're getting the day because they want to see the Queen. So he was actually kind of thinking, you know, if she was killed in front of my stall, it would just make the second set a big pilgrimage site for people. But that's watching that side of it. No. We don't want to go down that road. We don't want to imply the tactics. No. And Fintan asks, so how do we oppose the Queen? And that's the key question in a way, I think. And we have to be honest about the potential for protests around this, the Queen's visit, because lots of us have been talking about it for lots of numbers of weeks now, and there isn't a huge resonance around the thing. Now, whilst we're very clear enough for opposition, just in terms of a willingness to get out and do stuff around this, I don't detect a huge anger or momentum around this. That being said, there are a number of things planned, the best of which, I think, is the one, the idea that I already have come up with in Dublin, which is a march from the city centre on the banquet in Dublin Castle. Because, in a way, the Dublin Castle gig is probably the most obscene of them all, you know. I mean, she's visiting this, and she's visiting that, she's meeting this person, she's meeting that person. But this is a banquet of the great and the good of Irish society. The very people that Connolly refers to, you know, his speech was really good. These people, who are all our enemies, are hooking up with this person who is all of our enemies too, and it's quite clear. The fact that, like, if you had a photograph of the entire audience there, you should identify the people who cut your feck in welfare, and, you know, people who got away with the property deals, the whole shebang, that's there. So that march is going to be happening on the Wednesday evening in Dublin. So I thought we should have enough for that. And very importantly, what Airegi has said, and this has come back down to us, is that Airegi's position is very similar to our own, in a sense. They don't want any trouble at that demonstration. They want to make a political demonstration against the Queen, and they were opposed to the streets, and make a political argument, which is something I was talking with Ted and with Nick and a few others about. And they have specifically said that they're not looking for a confrontation, they're looking for a very visible protest, a very loud and visible protest, but not one that we're looking violent, which they don't believe is in our interest in this stage. In terms of the you can find other Republican groups in the left and stuff like that. Every group in the left has a kind of different approach, but the Socialist Party aren't participating in any demonstration. And they're the people I referred to earlier who said in their paper referred to the protest against the Queen by Republicans being inherently sectarian. I think it's a silly comment. Now, there are sectarian elements within, you might say, the broad kind of Republican camp and stuff like that, but because people protest against the Queen doesn't make them sectarian. I think that was an unfortunate remark. I know what the Works Party, I know the Works Party are opposed to the Queen's visit, but they're not physically opposed to it. Ted Hedges covers the comment, I won't be down to the welcome, but I won't be from Rockstar or anything. I think the quote of the campaign so far, I think it's very well put actually, I won't be from Rockstar, I'm not welcome here. The SWP, I talked to them, they're being a meeting on Saturday. They said that's probably about as much as they're going to do, probably won't even come along to any protests that are organised. Sinn Féin are organising a thing around the National Monument. Well, they're trying to get it organised around the National Monument, but that's on the roof of the Queen, so I can't see them being allowed to do that there. But their idea was, I thought so when they're seeing your paper in Cork, their idea was that there'd be a kind of alternative protest thing where people get to be quiet for the protest, but there wouldn't be any confrontation and stuff. And they're not interested in any confrontation and stuff either, because they're, well, for obvious reasons, for them, they don't want to see a confrontation. So the only, I haven't met anyone yet who's looking for a confrontational situation. I've had individuals, but I've never had organisations who are arguing for it, right? That's definitely true. So I can't see there being a major confrontation. In terms of what's going to happen in Cork, I think we don't have the capacity to organise a substantial demonstration. That's what that, and I think as an organisation we took the decision basically that since we have the capacity to do that, we'll see what's thrown up, what kind of momentum builds up, and we go to what speed, and we make our arguments there. So I anticipate that we'll probably go down to the same thing and shoot literature and stuff and making our arguments with people and stuff like that. Yeah, and if there's other stuff organised, we'll address that too. But in Dublin, there's that march, and I think that'll be the key, if you like, it'll be one of the key events. But there's also a thing happening on Sunday, even though the Queen won't actually be here at that stage, where Airegi are intending to set up a freedom camp in the Garden of Remembrance. And I think that's a good symbolic move in a sense, as well, because it ties in with the whole kind of Tahrir Square and the freedom camps that have been going on in the news and stuff. That I think that's not a bad project, it doesn't work, something about getting along to that. Although it doesn't mean traveling to Dublin again, you know. Cashel and I don't know if there's any protest organised there, but that's going to be. In a place like that, you're going to end up like being 2 miles from the Queen's. So I think Cork and Dublin. Probably the worst stuff will happen with the because you have large numbers of people there anyway. And again, I just caution people that don't be disappointed if you go on to these demonstrations, there's only a couple of hundred people there. I mean, if there's a couple of hundred people on the march, it doesn't have to be respected. When Prince Charles came a number of years back, I think there were 1,500 of us on the march. and that was the port division then, right? And the land that that's Peace Process was in the United, I think.
96, I think, wasn't it?
Peace Process was well, you're right,
yeah.
Yeah. And there was no confrontation there either. They get everybody there. Oh yeah, sorry, Ray, your point. Yeah, you're this idea that people were protesting against equality and privilege. Yeah, exactly. People are privileged here, and people are losing that quite awful. Why would you possibly protest against privilege when we're entitled to our position in society? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it does. It's the interests of the interests, you know, the shared interests, and obviously the protesting against them is exactly the same. You don't pay attention to you either. That makes sense. Just in terms of other meetings, I know you have to see doing one on Saturday. I asked them to bring leave up here on Saturday, but they haven't done, but you see the post is on phone. I really was talking to doing one on Monday, but I've heard nothing back from them since. So I don't know what they'll say with that. I think the next one will tell on Monday night.